Good morning, everyone. I don't know if the furnace is going to work at all this morning or not. It sounds like it keeps coming on, but then it goes off just shortly after it comes on. I don't know if we can get anybody to check it this afternoon, if he would be available. As we continue on the Sermon on the Mount, today I want us to look at being the light of the world. And again, just a summary of this sermon that we've been looking at. The sermon is about the kingdom, which is the church. And this sermon covers citizens of the kingdom, which you and I are. And it covers the character of the citizens of this kingdom and the blessedness that we can have being a citizen of the kingdom. And we are starting to get to the point where we are looking at the influence that we have as citizens of the kingdom. Then we will go to looking at the righteousness of the kingdom and then the necessity of entrance into the kingdom. So after Jesus tells the attitudes that we are to have as citizens, he goes on to describe the influence that we are to have. Last week we looked at salt, the influence that salt has. So now we want to look at light. So to start off with, what is light? In simplest terms, it is the natural agent that stimulates sight and makes things visible. And that definition in itself is a little wordy. But to look at it a little bit deeper, light comes from the word phos or phos, P-H-O-S. The definition, a luminous emanation which provides a vision of brightness, luster, shape, color, and form. It may be from a sun or a star. It may come from some other body or source of heat and force, which propels its own energy. So this light is going to have some energy force that is going to radiate, propel itself forward. It can come from a candle or a lamp. And from phos, we get our English words, phosphorescence, something that glows. And we get all the words with the prefix photo, photocopy, photograph, photometry, photosynthesis, phototherapy. All of these things involve light and the influence of light. Something else just to put in here, a little play on words, but Malachi refers to the Christ as the Son of Righteousness. The Son, S-U-N, not S-O-N, S-U-N in Malachi 4:1. I want us to consider just a few verses before we get into this lesson where the word light is used. Psalm 18:28, for thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And it's interesting there, just to comment on this verse for a minute. You have different kinds of light. Some project a great distance and some just a little bit. I think it's interesting with this. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Bible is both of those because it gives us light to see all the way to heaven, but also it is written in such a way that it gives light to our feet. If you have a lantern, you can only take a step or two at a time with that lantern because it's just showing that light right around your footsteps. And that's the way God's word is written, so that we must get into it daily to look at it for each step that we take. Psalm 148:3. Praise ye him, sun and moon, praise him, all ye stars of light. Jesus speaks of himself as light. John, referring to Jesus, John chapter 1, verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. John 1:5, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. John 3:19, after this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, that men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. John 8:12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 12:46, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. So we see from these verses and from the definition that there is something about light where it is an energy source. It is an energy source that is going to lighten, make visible things around us, and cause some changes. Now Jesus says in our text in Matthew 5:14, he doesn't say, I am the light in this passage. What does he say? He says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. So all of those things we think about the definition of light and what Jesus said about himself as light, he is saying, you are the light of the world. And with these two analogies that he uses, talking about influence with salt and light, with salt, salt usually has an influence internally. You take it and you mix it in with whatever you are going to bring about that influence on. And again, it's got to come in contact with something. Light operates externally. There's a source and it radiates out, and it is going to influence what it comes in contact with. So with the salt influence, that's usually referring to like people that we would come into on a repeated basis day after day, where we're more involved with them. But the light is going to be something more externally. So the light of Christ is to shine through his disciples on the world that are living in that darkness. The world lies in moral darkness, and it's enveloped in the darkness of sin. And as such, as citizens of his kingdom, he says that we cannot be hidden any more than a city set on a hill. We are the light. And you stop and think about a city on a hill and the lights, it's going to radiate light. People are going to see it in every direction, and it's going to occupy a prominent place. So one of the characteristics when we think about light is that light is visible. God wants us to be visible to others. But when you see light, people often talk about it and marvel about it. They'll say, did you see that beautiful sunrise this morning? And we didn't have one this morning, but how many times have you heard somebody say, did you see that beautiful sunrise? Did you see that beautiful sunset? Come look at this sunset. It is so beautiful. We see that light. Did you see the full moon last night? Oh, that full moon was something. Did you see the stars? We marvel at the light. It cannot be hidden. And Jesus says that our influence, if we want to be a citizen in his kingdom, cannot be hidden. Light is visible. Light is noticeable. Peter in 1 Peter 2:12, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. So our good works are going to be our light. We need to make sure that our lives our actions, our conduct is visible and honorable. Jesus gives an example of this in John 13, 34, and 35. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, and that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So if we love each other as Christ loved them, what is going to happen? There's going to be something visible. By this, all will know that you are my disciples. It'll be visible. It will be observable. We will reflect the light of Christ. And as lights, that's one of the things that we do. It's like the sun and the moon. We are like the moon that reflects the light of the sun. The sun, God, Christ. So Jesus is reminding people that the way people know that you are my disciples is by the outsider observing the way you interact with others, the way you love each other, the way you talk to each other, the way you get along. Light is visible. And God wants us as light to be seen by others. Jesus talks about this visibility in verse 14. You're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Well, what do they observe? What do they observe in our life? It would go back to the Beatitudes, to those things that he told us to be. Poor in spirit, when we demonstrate that in our daily lives, when we mourn over our sin, when we are gentle and meek, when we hunger and thirst for righteousness, when we're merciful, when we're pure in heart, when we're peacemakers, when they see the way we react when we are persecuted for righteousness, they're going to see there's something different about a citizen of the kingdom of God. People are going to take notice. What is the purpose of light? Well, one of them is to enable people to see, as we mentioned, and we are the lights to shine in a dark world to teach people the truth. But there's also power in light. There's power in light. You think about you plant a garden or if you start some seeds indoors in some kind of container, where are you going to put that container? You're going to put it in a windowsill so it will get sunlight because there is power in that light. You think about when there's a large snow or a lot of ice and the sun comes out, what happens? That snow and that ice melts. Why? Because there is power in that light. Verse 15, nor do men light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but put it on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. So Jesus tells us that we are to be lights, and he says it's so foolish that you are the light, and then you try to hide your light. Think of the foolishness of lighting a lamp and then hiding the light. A lamp is lit so people can see. We are lit. We are the light of the world so people can see. Why would we cover up the thing that we are trying to be? Why would we cover it up? The disciples of Jesus should not conceal the light of knowledge of the gospel. We've got the most valuable thing, the most precious possession, the Word of God, and everybody in the world needs it. Everybody needs it. It's not like if you have a product and you go around and you knock on doors, do you need this? No, I don't need that. Everybody that we come in contact with needs the gospel. And why do we try to hide our light and not let it shine and not let people see what God wants them to see? We cannot carry out our mission as a citizen of the kingdom if we do not let our light shine. It's only natural. It's only natural for a light to shine. We have a bunch of these in our house. When they go out, we replace them, these light bulbs. Wouldn't it be silly if I bought those light bulbs and painted them black and covered them up? It would be silly. But what do we do sometimes? We try to hide our light. Jesus draws some conclusion and makes his application when he says, "Let your light shine before men." Let your light shine before men. He doesn't say shine on men. He doesn't say blind them with your light. But let your light shine before men. There's a lot of influence in light. And again, I don't think we stop and think enough about that. It was a cloudy morning this morning. It still looks cloudy outside. Sometimes you go through a winter season and you have cloudy day after cloudy day, and then the sun comes out. And it makes such a difference with people's attitudes. That light, it makes such a difference. And that's the way we are to be. We are to be those lights in a cloudy day that makes a difference in people's lives. We don't have to, again, blind somebody with our light. We just have to let it shine. Have you ever gone camping? We used to do that when the kids were little. And I would take a Coleman lantern and light it. And, you know, when you have it on the table or wherever and you light it, it almost blinds you there. But then I'd take it and put it on a bungee cord and hang it up from a tree limb. And just putting that light up there, it would light up the whole campsite. That little light. That's the way we are to let our light shine. We don't go out and do something big to be seen of men. There should be no false display of letting our light shine. We do it in humility. We just let our light shine. We just let our light shine. But it's got to be something that we do naturally and we do all the time. If we don't let our light shine all the time and we go and meet a group of people, it's going to be hard to turn it on and make it shine right here because it's not going to be natural. That, again, is why this Sermon on the Mount goes back to the character of a person. To the character of a person. So he cautions us not to do it to be seen by others. In Matthew 6 and verse 2, "Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." You see, we let our light shine naturally. We don't draw attention to what we're doing. Matthew 6:5, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." So here Jesus is condemning the attitude of, "I want to do this publicly so everybody can see me do it." That's the wrong attitude to have. We just let our light shine. God wants us to be seen. And why does God want us to be seen with our light shining? The whole purpose is so that he would receive the honor and the glory and the praise. It's not about us. It's not about us, the moon. It's about the sun. It's about the sun. And with this illustration, you think, well, what influence can the moon have? It's not as bright as the sun. It's not going to melt snow like the sun. What influence does the moon have? Well, a lot of people plant their garden by the phase of the moon. The moon has a gravitational pull. You have high tides and low tides. It affects water all over the face of the earth, depending on the phase of the moon. We don't think of that. And that's the way our influence should be. We just go about influencing people without drawing attention to ourselves. So with this too, we are to let our light shine. So as a church, as citizens of this kingdom, we need to do that individually, and we need to do that collectively. How can we do that individually? Well, we could think of, I don't want to say 101 different ways. We could think of a lot of different ways. Again, I would go back to the list of the Beatitudes. We develop that mindset, and we're going to let our light shine. We also need to think about it collectively. How can we do this collectively? And new ways of doing that also. We've done the festival in town, the Friday night outs. We have gospel meetings. We need to think of ways that we can do this collectively to let our light shine before the community. Light often represents good, and darkness represents evil. Light exposes darkness. And that's one of the things that we may not like to do as light. But if our light is shining, we are going to expose sin. That may be one reason why someone is hesitant about letting their light shine. But Jesus calls us to be light. He says, "You are the light of the world." We are that sunshine on that little seedling. We are that sunshine that doesn't melt an icy road. We are the sunshine that melts that icy person because of our character, because of our influence. We are that light hanging from a tree that's not going to blind people, but it's going to illuminate their way so they know how to live their life. That's our job. That's one of our jobs as being a citizen in this kingdom. Philippians 2, verse 14, "Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain." So here we see this explained as we are lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. We are shining to them. What happens if we aren't shining? We have sung the song, we sing it from time to time, "Let the lower lights be burning." And I think all of us know the story behind that. It was a true story, and the light in the lighthouse was burning brightly, but the lights leading into the harbor where there were all kinds of rocks and dangers would have lamps to be lit so that when the ship came in, that would be like a doorway where there were no lights, and those lights would direct them to go through that to the lighthouse, and they would reach the shore safely. And someone didn't light those lamps that evening when there was a storm. They didn't light those lamps. So someone was headed for the safety of the shore, but without those lower lights, they shipwrecked. That ship wrecked. And the song came out of that, I think, by Philip Bliss, "Let the Lower Lights Be Burning." Because that is our job as a citizen in this kingdom. We must have our lamps trimmed and bright and burning all the time so that people can see us. I got a call the other night. It was about 10 o'clock, and it was from some woman here in town, and she wanted to start talking to me about something. And I thought, oh no, she's going to be asking me for money. And she said she had some problems, and it involved somebody else, and I'm not going to get into what the situation was. But she said, you know, I thought about calling the Baptist church, but you had sent me something in the mail, and I had that laying around, and I thought, I'd try to let you handle this first. And the thought went through my mind, you know, that was something that went out like over a year ago, and she still had it, and she still thought of it, and she called me. And then the more she talked, I thought, how can I, you know, I told this lady, we are not, the church is not involved in the things that you are talking about. And then I thought, you know, I've been studying the Sermon on the Mount, preaching the Sermon on the Mount, and with the influence, light and salt, the only thing that we are going to influence is what we come in contact with. And here, God brought somebody in contact with me for me to influence, so I spent some time talking to her. Now that was kind of an eye-opener to me. But how many times do we go through day after day and we just go through with our eyes closed all the time? Because we come in contact with people day in, day out. When we go to the grocery store, when we go out to eat, again, we are the light. Do we have to blind it in their eyes? No, we can take one of those cards, come worship with us, and hand it to them. You know, I'd like for you to come and visit us sometime. Carry some of those DVDs with you, and when you see somebody and you have a conversation, just say, hey, I'd like for you to take a look at this. Just mention things like that, and we let our light shine. Again, light is something that is positive. It illuminates. It dispels darkness. When you think about salt and light, both, salt is more on the negative side where it prevents or delays decay. Light is positive where it illuminates. And as a Christian, we have to be both positive and negative. We have to be both positive and negative. And we have to ask ourselves, I have to ask myself, how am I doing? How am I doing at that? Am I like a city that's set on a hill? And he's not talking about the church. He's talking about an individual here. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but put it on a lampstand, and it gives light to all the world who are in the house. Do we say, oh, I want to be a Christian, but I don't want the world to know that I'm a Christian? Again, we are only going to affect or influence those that we come in contact with, and Christ wants us to be living a Christ-like life. So, one of the other things about light, so like we're experiencing some kind of problem with the furnace this morning. Sometimes we experience problems with lights. Now, in our house, we have a breaker box down in the basement. And if all the lights go off, one of the first things I do is go down and check that breaker box. And if a breaker's off, I flip that switch to turn the lights back on. We all understand that. We all understand that. The lights have to be energized or they aren't going to do anything. Okay, you are the light of the world. I am the light of the world. What if my light goes out? Where do I check? Where do I check? What if my light goes out? Am I energized? Am I energized? Where's the breaker switch to turn my light back on? It's in the Bible. It's God's word. God's word is the power of salvation. Now, we might become involved in sin, and that is going to damage our light, or that might make our light go out. But it doesn't have to stay out. It does not have to stay out. We can turn it back on. We are the light of the world. Our life must be a shining light in a dark world of sin. Our light must be obvious. And again, I don't mean it has to be in somebody's face. It just has to be consistent. We live a Christian life consistent day in, day out. Our light must function. We have a faulty light bulb. We fix it. We change it. We see what the problem is. Is it loose? Does it need to be energized? Our life has a purpose. The Son of God brought life and light into this world, John 1, 4, and 5. And as citizens of the kingdom of heaven, the saved, we are salt and life, light, with that influence. Mark 9:50 is an interesting verse. It says, salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another. So here's one of the analogies that Jesus is using. He says to have salt in yourselves, and we are to have light in ourselves other. We have an influence that we cannot ignore, and it reaches everybody that we come in contact with. So we have to ask ourselves, I have to ask me, has your light gone out? Has it gone out? Again, Matthew 5, just as a city on a hill cannot be hidden, your influence should be seen and felt. Mine should also. The Lord expects our life to radiate the word of truth in darkness and sins. How can we do that? Our words have an influence. Our actions have an influence. Friends, we are the light of the world. Friend, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He said, you are the light of the world. Are you walking in His light? Are you walking in His light? Or are you walking in the darkness of the world? It is such a blessing that we can be a citizen in this kingdom, that He has explained everything to us, what we need to do, what we need to be. When we get to the end of this sermon, He's going to tell us how to get into it, more of what we need to do to be a faithful citizen in His kingdom. So the question again, is there anybody here that is not a citizen in His kingdom? If you aren't serving Jesus as King, you're serving Satan. If you aren't a citizen in His kingdom, you have no hope or no right to the protection that He's going to give us and to the rewards that He's going to give us. There's anybody here this morning that wants to be a citizen of that kingdom, or you have and you've let your light go out, you need to make correction in your life. If we can assist you in any way, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.